in Os Samaches. At least in my version, Samaches. Your version, it is. Yeah, Samaches. Picking up from last year, which is picking up the year before, so that's where we're holding. Okay. Tzedek, Tirdof, which is a play on a Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk is actually not referring to Mitzvot Tzedaka, but he is actually referring to the Mitzvot Tzedaka. He wrote Tzedaka Chesed, Yim Tzachayim Tzedaka B'Kavod. That's a Pasuk. Pasuk in Mishlei. A person who is right of Tzedaka B'Chesed is Zeichet Tzachayim Tzedaka and Kavod. So now a person has to give at least a master's shekel each year. Very interesting point in halachically, because actually Shulchan Aruch says that the Gemara says that the shear is actually a third of a shekel is the minimum amount the person has to give. Or more by Rashi of Tesam and Aleph, the Gemara says that a person has to give at least a shlish of a shekel b'chol shana to be yotze to the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's even a person who's an ani has a chiyuv to find somewhere with all over the year to give that amount. And he says, "V'chodesh v'chashua k'pimisas yotcha." Person should give every month, every week. And every day, a person should give something, give some minimal amount at least before davening. So besides what you give every day, a person should give, try to make sure that he gives more each week. And he besides that, a person should give something else also every month. Then he says, "Igiel Meiser, Titan." A person reaches the stage of his life where he can afford to give Meiser, he should give. He terribly the basically that will be a reason why the pasuk says a person who gives Meiser is zeichet to get the ashiras of giving Meiser. So he will have guaranteed that he has his needs. A person should always use all opportunities to do chesed. Okay, so that's the ois. Let's talk about a few points over here. So the mitzvah of tzedakah. So, very challenging mitzvah. People don't like parting from money that they feel that they need, money that they worked hard to get. I find it more challenging is that a person has limited amounts, and a person gives what he can, and then the person, the ani asks for more, or the ani pushes, the ani pressures. It becomes very uncomfortable. So how do you deal with that? So the first step is to put yourself in the position of the ani. He's under tremendous pressure. And he doesn't necessarily want to be in that situation, but he's in that situation. So what he does is a little bit just a reaction to his situation. It's not because it's nothing about you. The more you understand where the person's coming from, the less you feel pressured by it, attacked by it, etc. The message, that's point number one. Point number two, along the same lines, I mean, if a person honestly works through and knows what he's supposed to be doing, when it comes to stock, I know what I can afford to give, I know what I'm required to give, I know what I want to give, etc. So he's doing that. So somebody's challenge is, no, you should be giving more. The person's saying, no, I think I deserve more, you should be giving more. If I feel uncomfortable that what I'm doing is correct, I don't have to answer to you, I don't have to define myself for you, and you know, I understand your situation is difficult, but I'm sorry, I can't help you. The challenge that we all have is we're not sure how much what we're supposed to be doing. Are we really giving enough? Are we really doing enough? You know, I can't afford to give you more. Really? I can't afford to give you more? I can afford to give you more. Right? I have some money in savings. I could afford to give you more. I just don't want to give you more. Well, maybe I'm not mechuyev to give you more, but then we feel a little bit confused, and therefore, the more confused we are, the more when a person starts pressuring you, you get very uncomfortable and you don't know what to do. So a person makes a decision, he has X amount of money he wants to give. I noticed when I started giving, you know, people come knock on the door and you give them something. It's at the end of the year when you do your taxes, so you make your calculation of how much you gave over the year. I realized I was giving a tremendous amount of people at the door. maybe more than I wanted to. Maybe there's other places I want to send my money, which I wasn't doing. So I said, let's work backwards. I did over, like, sat down and I calculated, like, 3 years' worth of money that I was giving. So I was giving about the same much every single year. I said, what would I like to do with the money? So I would like to give back some of the money to my yeshiva, where I'm learning now. I'd like to give back some of the money to the yeshiva that I learned before. I'd like to support some of the other different types of the organizations in the city, etc. I would like to invest. You know, stock is investment money. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that the only money you take with you is the money you give the stock of. So you want to invest it well, right? So I want to invest the money in like good yeshiva. I want to invest the money in some yeshiva. Like, you know, if you're putting money in, you might as well put it into something which is worth a lot of money. It gets good returns. So I want some money. So I call up like yeshiva and I said, "Can you please send me 12 envelopes? I'd like to send you a check every month." They said, "Great." They were so happy. Like, you know, said, "Not going to be big." You know, said, "Listen, if I remember, Mayor Kleiser would do what you did, you know, we wouldn't have any problems." So nowadays with a credit card, but those. So now I have excellent money left for discretionary funds after what I can afford per month. So now the first guy knocks on my door, I'm not going to give it all to him because I know there'll be other people knocking on the door and there'll be envelopes that I'm going to get. So I tried to work with that, but it's still, you're not 100% confident. But the more you really think about it, the more you feel that, so the more the person's pressuring you, he's sending a message to you that you're not doing the right thing. And that's why you start feeling uncomfortable. If you feel right, comfortable, you're doing the right thing. So you will be comfortable. Next point is to think about is why it's called stalka. Why is the word stalka the describing what we do? So if anything, it's a strange word, right? The English word for it is charity. Charity is this very nice, wonderful, sweet act of chesed that I'm doing. Stalka means righteous. Tzedek is the idea of that it's correct. It is almost demanded of me. It's the right thing to do. It's not charity anymore. This is a responsibility. So that's exactly why it's called that, because this is exactly what this is. We don't live just for ourselves. We have responsibility to do for others. Hirsch writes a beautiful thing. It says the language of the pasuk, taking on responsibility for an ani. The Torah uses the lashon of, one time he used the lashon of, instead of saying v'chayachichimoch, make sure that he has what to live with, it says v'chayachichimoch. So what's the difference in the word v'chayachichimoch and v'chayachichimoch? It says the v'chay means that he should live with you. V'chayachichimoch means that is actually an abbreviated phrase for chayim shalachichimoch. Your brother's life is with you. So what does it mean? What does it mean it's with you? He says, you go to work and you make money. He says, part of the money that you're making, you're not making it for yourself. It never was yours to start with. As you go to work, you have to think about that part of the reason why you're making this money is to have money to give to others. So that's tzedek. It's not charity. It's rightfully his. The person didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to you as the person who's the gabbai, tzedakah. You are the one who's responsible to give that money, and you have to do it in a responsible way, to give that money to the people who are supposed to get it. So that's why it's called stalker. Rabbi Yerucham writes a fascinating thing. He says that he predicted the collapse of the Soviet, of communism. He says because communism is denying the idea of personal ownership. There's only collective ownership. It says that personal ownership is something which is central to Torah. It says we have the Klal Gadol B'Din and Motzei Mechaber Elav Araya. It says, but what's the lumbus? Why talk is that true that Motzei Mechaber Elav Araya? Because the concept of personal ownership. But why is there personal ownership? Why did Russia make such a metzius? You know, maybe the communists should be right. Everything belongs to everybody. Everybody should share equally. Everybody should benefit. Like, why is it that it's mine? He says, the Bereshit created the world as Olam Chesed Yibana. It's a world where the primary purpose of the Bereshit creating the world is to do Chesed for us. The only way human beings can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu is become, by them becoming Daimah to Kadosh Baruch Hu and becoming Balei Chesed. So the only way we can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu is becoming Balei Chesed. In a world where nobody owns anything, it's very hard to be a Baal Chesed. You have very little to give. The Rosh Hashanah created personal ownership as a way to create an opportunity to give. So we have it backwards. We have things that we own, and we're good Jews, so we understand we have to give also. So Birchum says that that's a tos. The Bereshit created the concept of ownership is only as a vehicle and a way to be able to give. Otherwise, you wouldn't have what to give. So the Bereshit, and we need to give. So Rekivas, and Mar says that Tunis Rivas of Russia, a challenge of Rekiva, if the Bereshit made a person an ani, that means the Bereshit wants to make an ani. Right? So, like, why the Bereshit, who gave you a right to interfere? He said, you got it all wrong. The Bereshit created aniyim as a way to give me an opportunity to give to somebody. There's not something wrong with that person. I'm not better than him. But the Bereshit created an opportunity for me through him. See, he's doing a chesed to me. The Zohar Kaddish says that when an ani knocks on your door, I'm not sure the Zohar means it's always the situation, but he says at least it could be understood. What's happening, he says, is that in Shemayim, there is a potential gzeir against you, and the Russian wants you to overcome the gzeir. And we know that stalka is a tremendously powerful thing to overcome the gzeir. So the Russian sends you an ani as a matana to give you an opportunity to do stalka and overcome the gzeir raw against you. So every time an ani knocks on the door, the Zohar HaKadosh seems to be saying it's a Bereshit Poshet sending you a chesed to save you. So we have that's what Rekiva said. The more that the Baal HaBayis does for the ani does for the Baal HaBayis. If you think about that, it's a mind-boggling thing. So it's stalker. It's definitely that this is exactly the right thing to do. It's not a chesed that you're doing, in the sense of it's, you know, I'm this wonderful philanthropic person and I'm this big charitable person. I'm doing the right thing. I'm living my life understanding that I'm here only as a vehicle to help others, and that is, and Rosh Hashanah is giving me opportunity to do that. Okay, the Gemara says that. So the Mora says that the Mora Barbasa says that they would give a pruta before he would daven, because that to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and to greet him you need betzedek. So according to what we're saying, that it's poshut, that the moment of tefillah is the moment when a person is connecting to his creator. You cannot connect to your creator unless you're doing it, you in some way are doymit to him. So the first step, the way that you want to be doymit to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is by giving. So before you daven, you give, and then you can go and daven and agree to Kadosh Baruch Hu. On that point, I'll just say, maybe just go off into a little bit of a side point. So the truth is that tefillah can function that purpose as well. When I'm davening not for myself, but for everybody. Tefillah b'davka is lashon rabim. Tefillah shemoneh esrei for sure is b'davka lashon rabim. Chaim Bosher brings from the Goyim that b'davka it has to be davka lashon rabim. You cannot say tefillah. He holds you're not even supposed to add in first of all kashrus. We don't look past like that, because that takes away from the point. The point over here is that this is about others. It's about seeing me myself as part of a greater reality, and Klai Yisrael as a greater reality is what brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence into the world, and that's what tefillah is. So, what better way to do that than b'shas tefillah, b'dafka davening for everybody? So the Rizal says that before you start davening, your person should think, I'm including myself in the tefillahs of all of Klai Yisrael. All of Klai Yisrael is davening together, as it were. That's one point. The second point, he says that before davening shachar is a person should call himself the mitzvah of hafta mecha, so that the person's attitude should be that he's I'm seeing myself as one of a greater unit, not just about myself, but about the greater unit. Okay, good.